Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to the people of the Southwest and the Southeast and the Midwest and the Pacific Northwest. Good morning to all the creatures that scurry about. Good morning to the oceans and the waves upon the oceans. Good morning to the dolphins that will ferry those wayward sailors to shore. That's what they tell you in the stories, right? You fall off the ship and that dolphin comes by. And you're drowning as a sailor and that dolphin takes a look. And yeah, but maybe the dolphins aren't going to save you. Maybe they look at you and say, human, save thyself. Human, you killed my grandma for that tuna fish sandwich. I smell grandma on your breath, human. You want me to save you? You're doomed. You're doomed. You're doomed. You're doomed. You're doomed. You're doomed, human. But good morning to the sarcastic dolphins that are mocking the sailors as they sink below the waves. Happy Friday to you. It's almost 10 a.m. here in Utah. All the farmers are awake. It's almost 10 a.m. September the 17th. 2021. Do you have your ticket to go to Mars? Do you have your ticket for the ship that Elon Musk has built to go to Mars, human? Are you prepared to take off in a rocket ship filled with love and travel to that far-off red planet to meet the people that live in the Great Canyons? And are you going to say hello to them too, human being person? Will you bring flowers to Mars so that you can plant them upon Olympus Mons so that there are alpine-style mountain flowers on Mars? Wildflowers on Mars. But would they be wild or would they be an invasive species? And without an atmosphere, how long can they live? Wouldn't they mutate? Wouldn't they kill something? Wouldn't they build a bridge? A bridge to another universe. That's what you get, Mr. and Mrs. McPhillips, for bringing flowers to Mars. You broke the world. You crack the universe. You split things in two. Thank you. The dolphins thank you. If you are drowning, the dolphins aren't gonna, no, they're not gonna help. But thank you for bringing wildflowers to Mars and breaking the universe. What a wonderful Friday, right? I'm just here in Utah drinking my coffee, but if you're listening on a shortwave radio, this could be Friday night, this could be Saturday night, it might be sometime between 11 p.m. and midnight Eastern Standard Time, WRMI out of Miami Okeechobee. From the Everglades swamp, there will be a great scream. Everyone will scream. I scream, you scream, for ice cream, right? Yeah, it'll be so nice, maybe, right? But in the last few days, I've received numerous emails and messages. I've received vibes from the outer realm and the inner realm. All of the sanctums have checked in. And the common message I've received is that we are, I think, almost at peak crazy. I mean, people are so crazy. People I kind of used to respect. Like, people I used to respect are starting to lose their heads. And I, for one, am happy to be where I'm at in Utah. You know, I think some of the people that have spoken to me get the wrong idea. They get the wrong idea. They think that where I am in Utah is in some sense inherently better than where they are, wherever they are. And it's not really that simple. There are people here, lots of people here, who are just as deluded and crazy and confused as the people everywhere else. There's just fewer people where I'm at. And if you have fewer people, it generally means less crazy. And all things being equal, rural people, you know, tend to follow the basic, you know, the basic tenets of common sense. So there aren't a lot of people wearing masks here or doing the monkey herpes hokey pokey. And I don't even know really people that are getting the vaccination. I think that's a lot of crap too. But I'm sure there, you know, I've been getting messages from people who are proud. Somebody told me they thought they were doing the right thing. And in my head, I'm wondering, how would you know? How would you know? You're talking in the language of liars. The inventor of the test said you don't use it this way. So how would you know that you're doing the right thing? Under and in what universe could you calculate that? I'm telling you, you're not, but I'm also okay with it because I believe that people like you, and I'm using the royal you to all the people out there, friends and neighbors, most of whom probably don't listen to this podcast. So in a sense, it is absurd to say you at all. But to all the folks out there, if I could speak to them, I'd say, you guys go with it. Go with it. Go with your, it's kind of real. The COVID is kind of real. Because I just got to say, the next time you see me dribbling a basketball, my 51-year-old diabetic, almost stroked out butt, you have to call me an NBA basketball player. You have to call me a great. Following the logic of your strained COVID monkey herpes reasoning, I am an NBA player. And your pandemic is real, although it's not. And I'm not an NBA player. But I'm glad you're crazy. All of this crazy is telling me one thing. We're almost at the end. Not the end of the world. No, no, no. That's kind of silly. I mean the end of this particular chapter or this particular, you know, act in the play. I think we're almost at the end. What's coming? I don't know. I don't know. I have theories and I've spoken about them. I really think it breaks down between the collapse of the empire, A, or something else. I'm hoping it's A. B could be any number of things. And I think that B would be generally worse. I don't, as I've said, and I'll say it again, I don't see this Klaus Schwab New World Order reset nonsense because I don't see the juice. And there's a lot of wishful thinking out there that's really upside down and bizarre, and that also points to peak crazy. You have people in the decentralized world of the blockchain more or less hoping that the system doesn't collapse. I mean, in a weird way, they're kind of like, you know, well, no, the system can't collapse. It'll just print money forever. And ergo what? What's your end state? Currently, if you do blockchain, you're connected to the internet, a wholly subsidized and owned deep state style operation. You're connected to chip manufacturers, wholly owned deep state style operations. You're connected to centralized power, wholly owned deep state operations. if you want to be able to mine your frickin' coin, the Death Star has to stay intact. But if the Death Star starts falling apart, your mining rigs aren't going to work, Boblimtok. No one told you this, did they? Maybe they should have said, get your energy first. Get your manufacturing going. Make some chips. And get the heck out of the system that way. That would have been maybe harder, you know. It would have been harder, but it probably would have worked maybe that way. The way you decided to do it is you based your entire scheme upon the very system you claim you're out to destroy. You don't even see the contradiction in your reasoning, let alone the flaws in your blockchain. But there is so much crazy out there. People hoping and praying the system comes to get, you know, stays together, coming up with weird excuses for how, you know, even with the Evergrande, that weird property scheme collapse in China, you have people rationalizing, well, it's just, you know, don't worry, the People's Bank of China will bail them out. Of course they're going to bail them out. Of course they're going to do crooked schemes. The question you have to ask is, can you run an empire on just crooked schemes? Don't you need stuff? It doesn't matter if you steal it, that's how empires work. But what happens when you've run out of things to steal? What happens when you've stolen just about as much as your crooked system is capable of stealing? It's not a question, is there more Slurpee or chocolate milkshake at the bottom of the chocolate milkshake cup, Mr. and Mrs. Crazy Person? The question you have to ask yourself is, can this 800-pound bedridden beast that has to ride the electric shuffle down to the 7-Eleven each day to get their Grumbo snacks, is this person going to be able to suck out the last little bits of that chocolate shake? And the simple answer to that question is no. Almost a decade ago, I told people, we are currently manufacturing oil in Canada, in the world, more or less the way the Nazis did at the end of the war. Not a good sign. Not a good sign. People said it was a good sign. No, no, no. Not a good sign. But people laughed and thought it was funny. Back then, as today, according to that worldview, I am the crazy person. And you know what, guys and gals? I'm okay with it. Someone asked me when I'm coming back to Washington State. And the only answer I can kind of say is half past never. Because it is currently in douchebag mode. Not that it was ever out of it much, you know, during my lifetime, but it's in hyper douchebag mode. You guys can have your vaccinations. You can have your weird lockdowns. You can have your statistical lying. I don't care. It's crazy. But you wonder when I'm going to visit that place? That place is a scum hole. If the people of Washington State had any dignity, they would go to Olympia, grab Governor Inslee, and toss him off the Tacoma Narrows Bridge. That would be a moment, a tiny moment of refined justice. But that's not in the cards, brothers and sisters. That would be rational behavior. No, no, no. At a population scale, we're not just in crazy world. I think we're at peak crazy. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. The squeaky wheel, it gets beaten. The squeaky wheel gets beaten. And here's another quote from Dr. Freckles. Don't reinvent a dead horse. Don't reinvent the dead horse. Remember, the squeaky wheel gets beaten, and don't reinvent the dead horse. I'm going to read an article from Zero Hedge, and I know I promised a few podcasts ago that I wouldn't read the news, but I felt like this article was worth reading. This was published yesterday at, you know, almost 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. The original, the author is Matt McGregor, and it was originally published via the Epoch Times. Headline: Leaked Zoom video exposes hospital officials discussing COVID-19 scare tactics. And I read on. A leaked Zoom conference reveals a doctor questioning how to increase the count of COVID-19 patient numbers on the hospital's dashboard report. The media outlet National File said it obtained the recording from an internal source at the Novant Health System that includes New Hanover Regional Medical Center in Wilmington, North Carolina. The National File posted the video on its Twitter feed on September the 10th. National File and other local media outlets that reported on the leak identified the people in the video as Mary Catherine Rudick, a physician at the medical center, who is asking Carolyn Fisher, the hospital's director of marketing, how to inflate the number of people classified as COVID-19 patients for the purpose of generating fear in the unvaccinated. And I quote, "I think we would have to be more blunt. We have to be more forceful. I think we have to be more..." Yeah, I feel like I need an organ for this, brothers and sisters. Can I? I think we have to be more blunt. We have to be more forceful. We have to say something coming out. If you don't get vaccinated, if you don't get vaccinated, you know, you're going to die. Let's just be really blunt to these people. No, that's not bluntness, that's lying. And I read on. The video begins with Fisher explaining how her department is communicating meaningful numbers, the percentage of the unvaccinated, vaccinated, and percentage of deaths in the intensive care unit to the public. Rudick then asked how post-COVID cases can be included in the number of people hospitalized for COVID-19. "My feeling at this point in time is that maybe we need to be completely a little bit more scary to the public," Rudick said. There are many people still hospitalized that we're considering post-COVID, but we're not counting in those numbers. So how do we include those post-COVID people in the number of patients we have in the hospital?" Fisher asked if she meant every patient who has been in the hospital since the beginning of COVID. Rudick answered, "Well, that are still in, and that's something I can take to someone else, but I think those are important numbers. The patients that are still in the hospital, that are off the COVID floor, but are still occupying the hospital for a variety of reasons." Also on the Zoom conference call was Shelborne Stevens, president of New Hanover Regional Medical Center, who said those patients are classified as recovered, but I do think from our standpoint, we would still consider them a COVID patient because they're still healing, Stevens said. Rudick said she thinks those patients need to be highlighted as well because once they're off isolation, they drop from the COVID numbers, prompting Stevens to say that they can later talk offline about how we can run that up to marketing. In response to questions asking for confirmation on if people in the video were employees of New Hanover Regional Medical Center and what the context of the video was, a spokesperson for Novant Health told the Epoch Times that staff involved in the excerpt of the video are seeing the highest levels of COVID-19 hospitalizations and deaths so far in this pandemic, despite having safe and effective vaccines widely available. "This was a frank discussion among medical communications professionals on how we can more accurately convey the severity and seriousness of what's happening inside our hospitals and throughout our communities, the spokesperson said. Specifically, the data we have been sharing does not include patients who remain hospitalized for COVID-19 complications, even though they are no longer COVID-19 isolation. So it does not provide a complete picture of the total impact of COVID-19 on our patients and on our hospitals. At that moment, the mask fell off the administrator and the demon was revealed. The hospital continues to be concerned with misinformation, the spokesperson said, and that it strives to be transparent and to tell the whole story. Well, I mean, if by story you mean lie, then okay. I am, for one, and extremely tired of this lying, but like I said, I think we've reached peak crazy. I have people in my life who will read a story like that, and just like the Russian mamushkas who brought the painting out of the closet of Joseph Stalin, these people will still defend the hospitals. I've worked around and in hospitals, not my whole life, thank God, because they are wretched places. They are disgusting places, most of them, and they are some of the dirtiest places you will ever visit. So for all their BS, or excuse me, bullshit about cleanliness and washing your hands, I used to walk up and down the stairwell at Harborview Medical Center, and I could swear the walls moved. So yeah, no, I don't believe their crap. Sorry. In 2010, I took a job at the University of Washington working on the Microsoft Amalga project. Microsoft Amalga was a system designed by some ER physician in Washington, D.C., that was supposed to be a clinical data repository, although they kept renaming it as it kept not working. It was a system that was designed to pull together a lot of data sources within the hospital to provide information to physicians and nurses. One of the pieces of information it was supposed to pull together is something called the infectious disease report. Now you'd say, well, Dan, that sounds boring. What's an infectious disease report? Well, let's back up. Did you know that prior to 2020, because I don't think the numbers are meaningful now, but prior to 2020, hundreds of thousands of people, probably more, because I kind of think they lie a lot, which means these numbers are probably inaccurate to the downside. But according to official numbers, hundreds of thousands of people died in hospitals every year from hospital-acquired infections. This is MRSA. This is different types of, you know, various flesh-eating bacteria like MRSA, E. coli, fungal, and, by the way, the random unidentified virus, because newsflash, there are lots of viruses out there. There are people that die of viral infections, and those viruses never end up in the news because those viruses, like most of them, never become epidemics or pandemics. But hospitals, yeah, hospitals were responsible for hundreds of thousands of deaths every year because there were infections that they could have prevented. They could have. It's not something I like talking about, though. I will tell you that if you want to design a bioweapons lab, the way that most hospitals are physically engineered, the architecture, the workflow, the way in which patients are managed, you take the entire system for how most hospitals work and you think you have a place for curing people. Okay, from your perspective, that's what you think. From the administrator's perspective, or rather the corporate perspective, they have a way of making some kind of money. But from the perspective of, let's say, bacteria, they have their way to evolve. They have their Hunger Games. They have their adventure forest. They have their jungle. They have their Excalibur. They have their empire. For a bacteria, a hospital is the ultimate jungle gym, chess game, survival stratagem. And yes, many bacteria die. The problem is not enough. Enough of them survive. Something that I wasn't aware of when I was younger, in fact, because it was a kind of a discovery in my lifetime, is that bacteria communicate. They actually share plasmids. And because of this sharing, other bacteria can turn on and off genes and potentially change behaviors. So the traditional view was the only way bacteria can respond to their environment is through brute force evolution, survival of the fittest, you know, blah, blah, blah. That's the only way bacteria can change. But in my lifetime, it's come to the knowledge of many that bacteria can respond to toxins and behaviors in their environment without mass die-off. Now, I don't know if it was in hospitals that bacteria picked up this skill. Perhaps they've had this skill forever. But if they hadn't had it forever, I wouldn't be surprised if they picked it up in a hospital. So before I beat up on Harborview too much, you need to know something. I think hospitals by design are basically currently, by design as engineered, kind of like bioweapons laboratories. You have lots of sick people. You have usually very poor ventilation, very poor movement practices. You have radiation. You have lots of drugs. You have a spectrum of age groups. You have lots of compromised immune systems. I can keep going. I mean, you put it all together in a giant bucket, and what you have is an engine for producing some of the most dangerous bacteria and viruses and fungal spores and other little creatures that have ever existed. Microsoft Amalga was an information systems disaster. It produced inaccurate information and it didn't do it in a timely way. The infectious disease report, as I was talking about, is a report that tells a nurse or someone else to not transfer, you know, admit, discharge, transfer, to not transfer a patient from surgery to a hospital room that's had someone the previous day with an infection. So if little Johnny had MRSA, you don't want to put, you know, old Uncle Brimbus in little Johnny's room post-op. That would be bad. That's how you get one of those numbers of people that, you know, didn't have to die. What I was told by people who worked on the Amalga project is that it didn't matter that it was a disaster. It didn't matter that it was a piece of crap. It didn't matter that it required a gigantic headcount to keep it barely working. It just didn't matter. That wasn't the point. In fact, one person told me explicitly it was about jobs, you know, about people's jobs. So when people tell me things like, nurses and doctors and hospitals are filled with heroes, and they say, listen, I had one of these professionals, I think in 2011, tell me, I think it was something like, I don't care if grandma dies. And then I made the mistake of going to the Seattle Times in the spring of 2011 because I thought it was corrupt. It was taxpayer money. Keep in mind, folks, I wasn't an anarchist back then. I was just a far too idealistic person who thought people had a modicum of honor and respect, you know, a little bit, especially if you were caring for other people. That's what I believed back then. I was really stupid. I believed that nonsense about hospitals being filled with all these heroes. I think there are a few people in hospitals that give a shit, but the vast majority, I think, is a lot like public education, if you ask me at this point. There's a few teachers that probably care. There are a lot of teachers that suck. There are a few doctors and nurses that care. I would say most of them suck. Sorry for shattering your illusion. But back then, I thought people cared. So I said, you know what? Do the right thing. Go to the Seattle Times. Then Microsoft threatens to sue the Seattle Times, and that story goes nowhere. From my perspective, the only way that that piece of software that Microsoft got a payday for, the only way that got into the system was corruption. There was not a rational process. There were people making deals. There was no competition. It was all very crony, and it was wrong. And it put people's lives at risk because it damaged the data. It impacted the information people were going to use to make clinical decisions. So it also impacted clinical care. And I would have thought people would be concerned. But what I learned is nobody cared. People care about their jobs. People care about the money, quote unquote, but they don't really care that much about the patients. Sorry. And then I saw how my sister Nancy was treated as she was dying of cancer. There was a hospitalist. I called her Dr. Midriff because she would wear these ridiculous little sweaters that showed her tummy, and she had lips that were filled with so much silicone. I mean, it was ridiculous. I said, listen, I need to seal a couple windows. Can I borrow some? And she didn't seem to give a shit about my sister. She danced about with her own stupid little attitude. And then there was the Asian doctor who sat in a room with me and another sibling and was a liar and a deceiver. He said, Nancy, you want me to tell you the truth? Or do you really want to know the truth, Nancy? And a rational person who's currently suffering from cancer hears that from their oncologist and they say, well, gee, you just told me, Mr. Coward. You just told me the truth, but instead you had to be a stink pot. And this same stink pot would pull me aside as my sister was dying and tell me things that he wouldn't tell my sisters. That's cowardly. I think he had an award on his wall for being a hero, healthcare hero. He was a coward. At one point, he said he stayed up all night and he read some article. No, he saw a House episode and he said, oh, I can just overdose your sister with, you know, chemotherapy and give her double chemo. We can try that. I think that was one or two days, maybe a week before she died. I have zero evidence, except for maybe our family doctor growing up and one other person, Dr. Khan in Seattle. I don't know if he still practices, but he's a really good doctor. So that's the only reason why I would mention him. But other than my family doctor and Dr. Khan, I have had very little exposure to doctors or nurses that showed any real competence or proper concern in my lifetime. And as far as the pharmaceutical industry goes, my confidence never existed. I don't understand how most of the people out there, not you, you're listening, I don't know why, but I don't understand how all those people out there have so much faith in the pharmaceutical industry. I mean, they have been a wrecking ball to human civilization. We could just spend all day talking about the Oxy epidemic, but people need to believe that these institutions care for them. And the level at which they're believing right now is so hard. I say again, I think we're at peak crazy. Peak crazy, peak bullshit, peak madness. I don't know what's coming for sure, but I can tell you, this nonsense is coming to an end. If you're holding tightly to your mask, I'm sorry. If you're holding tightly to your portrait of Stalin, if you need to believe in your power authority, I'm sorry, but that's coming to an end. It's coming to an end, brothers and sisters. That is scary for people, you know? I think that's why they take vaccines and they obey, because a lot of folks are deeply invested in this nightmare, or at least they think they are. Like, they have a 401k, and on the paper it says, you have $500,000. I'm going to let you on a little secret. If you don't get your money out of that investment fund as soon as you can, you are going to be in trouble. I don't care about the fees. I don't care about the taxes. If you're going to keep your eggs in the basket that the government currently guards for you, you are going to be in trouble. The most intelligent thing you could do, the least crazy thing you could do at this point, if you have your 401k or your stock portfolio or your 25 Bitcoin, would be to cash out of all that nonsense. And if you have enough money, get a piece of land, learn to farm, learn to purify water, maybe get yourself a shortwave radio and a CB radio. There are things you can do at this point if you want to increase your likelihood of survival. But if your entire worldview is based upon the nonsense that got us to this point, and you need to listen to this, because if you actually believe the COVID, then you need to start connecting dots in your head. If you believe in the nonsense that led you to this point, crazy people developing crazy viruses and then accidentally releasing them, then you probably need to meditate on whether you can trust these people to watch your wealth. Okay? If you think you have stored wealth in a 401k, it's a casino. It's a carnival. You have one of those wooden chips. You have one of those little wooden coins, okay? As long as the carnival's in town, you can take that wooden coin and get yourself a free popcorn. But what I'm saying, and I am telling you, the carnival is leaving town. Whatever's coming next, it's not going to involve your 401k. It's not going to involve pension funds. If you are a veteran after 20 years and you got your military pension, I don't know how to tell you this. One of two things is going to happen, and probably both in some order. The value of your pension will be inflated away. That will probably happen very quickly in the next few months. And then the next thing that will happen is it will just simply stop. That's it. We're at peak crazy because so many people I used to believe were independent thinkers are in obedience mode. They have to believe the lies, because if they don't believe the lies, then they have to recognize the possibility that their entire life they've been in service to a lie. So it's better to believe it. It's better to believe it's true. But we are at the peak of it. The levels of nonsense surrounding COVID-19 are gigantic. They were gigantic from the beginning. It's why they tossed the race war hand grenade at us. Because in about April of 2019, barely a month into the great pandemic, people were beginning to realize that it might be total bullshit. Well, then we need to have a race war. We need to have some kind of a scare fest. We need a halftime show. And I don't know if George Floyd is real. I don't know if George Floyd was killed. I really don't know. I know that our government is capable of doing all the above for the purposes that they would want to. So whether he was killed, made up, or something other is irrelevant. The Antifa BLM nonsense that erupted in 2020 was a manufactured campaign. There was nothing real about it. There is still nothing real about it, but it does serve the lie. Peak crazy people. I don't like talking about when my sister Nancy died. I know my siblings don't like the subject either. I don't like thinking about the healthcare system. Between the financial side and the brief glimpse I had into the clinical side, I saw a lot of really wretched, disgusting behavior, and I met a lot of nasty people. They reminded me, even though they would say, I don't work for the government, although in the case of the University of Washington, that's not true, but even though in some cases they would try to say, well, we're sort of private sector, every hospital feels like the BMV at this point to me. It feels like the BMV. The attitude, the vibes, the perspective, I don't trust any of them. And if you're some healthcare hero and you want to send me a nasty email and you want to tell me about your COVID ward that's filled with MRSA and fungal infections and some other thing that the hospital was too lazy or too stupid to fix, you feel free. me@imsully.com. And if you're listening on shortwave radio, this is 5950 kilohertz, WRMI out of Miami Okeechobee. The show notes for this show can be found by going to dfgtc.org/show notes. me@imsully.com if you want to send me an angry email. If you're a healthcare hero and you want to tell me stories about your magical monkey herpes ICU ward. But if you're out there and you had a person die in a hospital and they told you it was COVID-19, my advice is hire a lawyer. Because if you do believe the system's going to keep going, if you do live in the fantasy world, the rent-free zone in your head, that there's still a rule of law, then I'm telling you the odds are far greater that the hospital killed your loved one than the magical monkey herpes COVID. Hire a lawyer. And if you're out there getting vaccines and thinking you're a hero, I'll tell you, I don't think you're going to go to hell for doing it, but you're not a hero and you're not going to get any points. You won't. All you proved is how obedient you were. All you proved was your willingness to accept lies. And you're helping me prove that I think we're almost at peak crazy. I tell you, you want me to ever visit Washington State again, Governor Inslee? I don't know. I mean, I just don't know what to say, folks. These are wretched tyrants, and people should do something about them, but they're not going to. Next topic. So, I have been listening on a shortwave radio I bought, a little Texun PL600, made in China, and given what appears to be the case, perhaps a lot of things won't be coming from China soon. You never know. I said this years ago, and I'll say it again. When people told me, they said China will take over the world, I said, listen, when I was a teenager, people told me Japan was going to take over the world. And then there was the great property bubble and burst of 89 and 90 in Japan, you know, and then that didn't happen, did it? So when people tell me China's going to take over the world, oh, they're all savers. The people of China saved their money. But ask yourself a frickin' question. What did they put their money into? Ding, ding, ding. They put their money into the same government-sanctioned garbage that you put your money into. And I don't know how to put this, but it gets worse. Because there are these things called derivatives, and there are these things called credit default swaps. And these contracts are not always on the surface. Many of them, maybe mostly all of them, you would never read about in the Wall Street Journal. But these are contracts that get triggered if someone defaults. For example, like Evergrande in China. So if you're going to say things like, well, it just doesn't matter, what I'll tell you is, if I were you, and I weren't totally insane, and I know I'm repeating myself, if I had a 401k, which I do not, that I could cash out, I would get out as soon as possible. Guess what? For almost 6, 7, 8 years, I've been telling people this. And so, oh, but they would have missed out on gains, huge gains. Actually, I said, get a piece of property, learn how to farm. They would have learned to farm. They would be ready. They would probably already have, you know, a cellar filled with jars of food. Yeah. So maybe they would have missed out on some of the gains. But they might survive. Anyways, I was talking about shortwave, but Yeah, I told people years ago, I said, China will not take over the world. And I've been trying to say this on many podcasts. Who wants that? I mean, every time it's, you know, Afghanistan is sort of symbolic, but the entire imperial fascination with taking over the world is the madness of power and the madness of government. That is the worst thing in the world. You know what you do with power if you're a smart person? If you have power, you find trustworthy people and you give some of that power to them. And if they're smart people, they find people and they hand that power to them. And it goes on like that for a while. Intelligent people in a free society know what power is, and it's a corrupting thing, it's a bad thing, it's a dangerous thing. Maybe there are times, like, I don't know, maybe there are times where people have to stand up and take a little bit of power, but what you don't do is hold on to it. Power destroys everything. Power destroys love. Power destroys life. What is the purpose of that power over other people but a kind of slavery? And it might be slavery they give you, but does that mean you should not be your brother's or sister's keeper? If your brother or sister is feeling sick and they're confused and they're walking towards a cliff, do you let them walk over the cliff because that's of their own volition? Or do you say to yourself, I am my brother's keeper. I am my sister's keeper. I will keep them from walking over the cliff. Yeah, I think it's true that people throughout history give up their power. A big part of, you know, the book of Samuel, the books of Samuel, is in part about the people, the chosen people, the Hebrew people, giving up their own power that God gave them to earthly powers. And everybody, every Christian, and I think every non-Christian anarchist and libertarian should probably read 1 Samuel chapter 8 because it's all in there. And if your answer is, well, Dan, they're talking about kings. No, you're getting caught up and not reading it right. They're talking about earthly government. They're talking about power. That you want to give up your power to somebody else. What do you think is going to happen? You see, the Lord in heaven is a good shepherd. And if he sees people doing foolish things, which I think if you have his television set, he's seen people doing foolish things for quite a while. But the Lord in heaven understands that even though he has power, he also has love. And the Lord in heaven doesn't want us to simply go off the cliff. That's why the Lord in heaven sent his only son to live amongst us, to learn and to teach and to take the sins of the world to the cross and to die and to rise again. That was for love. Listen, if the Lord in heaven wanted us to destroy ourselves, I think that would have happened a few times. In fact, the Lord has probably stepped in a few times. So when people talk about power, Dan, can't you use power for good? It's kind of like saying, can you enslave 100 people and do something righteous with that slavery? Now, if 100 people want to voluntarily work together, cooperate, and maybe even, you know, pick somebody to be their leader for that project, what's wrong with that? Nothing. But giving up your power to somebody else and then coming up with weird rituals to justify it, that's dangerous. Where we're at right now in 2021, a lot of people gave up their power to somebody else. And the worst part of, or maybe the best part, the worst part and the best part is that we could pull that power back if we wanted to. We could take all that power back. We could pull it all back in if we really wanted to. All we'd have to do is say no. All we'd have to do is reject the system. Reject the powers that be. That's all. Anyways, I went off on a big tangent there. very tangential. So I bought a shortwave radio, a receiver. I set up a little antenna wire going up to a tree nearby. If you do get yourself a shortwave radio, it is well worth researching antennas, because a good antenna is what really makes a shortwave radio work. But I've got this Texon PL600, and I was scanning frequencies the other night, and I came across a frequency about a week ago, 5360. And it was a weird frequency. And I'm going to play it for you. This is what I recorded. Now, keep in mind, this weird frequency I figured out with a friend of mine. It's probably digital. It's possibly one of the protocols that people use on shortwave. But even so, it sounded weird. I thought it sounded funny. It sounded a lot like that weird stuff in the movie Signs with Mel Gibson back in 2002, where they pick up the aliens on the baby monitor. So you can go ahead and compare and contrast, but I'm going to play it for you right here, okay? Here we go. Just give me a second. Okay, so that's pretty weird. I'm just going to tell you that straight up. Again, I believe there's an earthly explanation based upon the research my friend Justin did. It's probably a digital signal. And it could be, who knows what it could be. It's a very strange signal, but it's probably digital. From what my friend was telling me, Justin, it seems like the kind of insider stuff that people could be experimenting with. So I don't know what I recorded, but it does sound weird. And I was thinking to myself, what if in the year 2007 Boblimtok? What if in the year 2007 Boblimtok, the physicist at the CERN Large Hadron Collider, they broke something. They broke the universe. They did something wrong. They broke something. They pushed the wrong button. And now, in the evening, you can listen. You can listen on 5360 kilohertz. You can listen to the air escaping through a hole in the universe, all the ether, all the particles, all the quantum flux, all the cute little ducks getting sucked out through a hole in the universe. On 5360 kilohertz. And on 5360 kilohertz, you can hear that noise, that infernal noise, the flapping of the hole in the universe, because those scientists turned on that Large Hadron Collider. They thought they were smart. They thought they were geniuses. Hey, we're going to take protons and electrons and gumtrons and blowtrons and whatever other kind of tron, including both the first movie and the remake. We will accelerate them to 99% the speed of light, and then we'll collide them together. But oops, we broke something. Something's broken. The universe is hissing. A terrible noise. The universe is broken. The universe is broken. The universe has a hole. And so between 7:30 p.m. and 9:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, here in the great state of Utah, if you have a shortwave radio and you tune in to 5360 kilohertz, you'll hear the noise, the infernal noise of a broken universe. You'll hear all the crap. You'll hear the hiss. You'll hear the hole. You'll hear the gash in the side of the universe, letting all the air out. Everything, all the unicorns, all the Bigfoot, disappearing through the hole. Now, some would say, that's crazy, Dan. That sounds insane. And perhaps you're right. Perhaps you're right. I don't really know. I don't know. You want to hear something crazy? Have you ever noticed that Chinese leaders' names sound a lot like, you know, and maybe on purpose, whatever. But have you ever noticed that the leaders of like China, like Mao Zedong, you know, Deng Xiaoping, Chiang Kai-shek, and Xi. Have you ever noticed that the names of the leaders of China sound like something you'd order at a Chinese restaurant? Like, I'd like some Deng Xiaoping, two star. I'd like some Mao Zedong, three star. Can I get some Chiang Kai-shek? Can I get some Chiang Kai-shek? And some of that green, spicy, yummy sauce on the side you served the last time. You remember Mr. Wong? Now, some would say that's racist. Dan, that's racist, saying that the names of Chinese leaders sound like Chinese food. I don't know. Isn't there like some type of Mongol, no, General Chang's or General So's beef? Isn't there like a General So's beef? And is that racist? Think about that, brothers and sisters. Because as I let you go, this is WRMI. If you're listening on shortwave, it is 5950 kilohertz. If so, this is Dan. This is the Planetary Status Report. And on our way out, we could say goodbye. But I do think we've reached peak crazy, brothers and sisters. The madness is reaching a peak. It's reaching a crescendo. The orchestra is tightening up for the final piece. You can tell by looking at the dogs that they smell a wolf, that they smell a skunk. Somebody broke the universe.